Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. And then Garden Talk's back live. So everyone's excited about that and looking forward to listening to the folks in Garden Talk. So stick around for that as well. And real quick story, while I was away down south and had to configure a few Internet of Things devices, like a smart thermostat, a smart lock to get into the property. And so we configured the devices, and then I decided I wanted to change the SSID within my property. Well, if I went to the Nest thermostat, you know how easy it was? I just clicked over to it and told it the new SSID. It took me like 3 seconds to change that. Very smart device, the Nest thermostat. My lock, however, is one of the dumbest Internet of Things devices I've ever seen. It communicates via both Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So my phone could talk to the lock, but I couldn't tell it the new SSID, which is, to me, a humongous mistake that you couldn't do that. So I then had to default the lock. I had to get on with support and go through literally headstands and craziness to default the lock, remove it from the app as if it never existed, and put it all back together just to change the SSID on the lock, even though I could communicate with it via Bluetooth. That's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you give this the ability to communicate it via Bluetooth but not tell it it's on a different SSID? It doesn't make any sense to me. So the engineers on the support side agreed. Well, we'll put that through and make that request, sir. You got to be kidding me. You change your SSID, it's going to be that massive of an undertaking to change your lock settings. It's just crazy. But just so you know, guy, you know, even though I'm a geek, I have to go through the same junk you guys have to go through to get things to work. But let's get to your calls. I'm going to go over to Cam in Southington. Hey, Cam.
I think
hi.
Carm. Oh, Carm.
Carm.
The screen is so far away, and I've got my glasses on to see close, so I can't see you far. So what's going on, Carm?
Okay. I have tried to do the Open DNS twice.
Yeah.
The first time with the help of Netgear,
right.
And it didn't work. And the second time, unfortunately, was with a service that Cox gets you to sign up for $10 a month, which I am going to cancel today. They tried to do the Open DNS and couldn't, and we couldn't do it.
What?
And he even went to your website.
Yeah, a 15-year-old kid can do it.
Went to your website and got all the information, and we tried, and he totally screwed up my router to the point where I had to set it to factory default.
Oh boy!
And then I. Then I had to pay Netgear $50 to get my router to work again.
Unbelievable.
It was such a mess, and I could have done the mistakes myself.
Right, for free.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah. OpenDNS is quite simple, and I'm sorry you had those experiences. I would contest the charges on my credit card. That'd be me, considering they didn't actually perform a service for you. But that's for a different show.
I'm going to contest with Cox.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't had any problems
right.
recently. Now all those guys are going to be, since I announced it over the radio that I haven't had problems, I'm going to probably have problems.
No, no. The bad guys aren't that smart. They're just, don't worry about that.
Okay.
The issue is OpenDNS is very simple to configure, and I can't imagine what kind of issues you had.
Does it matter that I have an Orbi?
An Orbi?
Orbi.
Orbi.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't matter.
What model is your router, your Netgear router?
It's an Orbi. Netgear Orbi.
I got it.
Okay. Yeah, that's just the name of the device. It's a nice high-speed router. Yeah.
Yeah. I need the high speed for a tiny business that I have.
Okay.
And
no, it really shouldn't matter, Carm. It's basically all we're telling the router is instead of handing out the DNS IP addresses from Cox, you know, which is what they obtain automatically, you just put in the two DNS IPs. Oh my gosh, we actually have an Orbi Open DNS specific configuration for you.
How to set your DNS in the Orbi, the Netgear Orbi router.
So what you can do is go follow the link and do this for free
with screenshots and everything.
Yeah. Where do you get that?
ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
Okay, all right. So it'll be on your website.
It will be. Now this is to how to change DNS, not to configure OpenDNS. But OpenDNS is IP. It's not using IPs for OpenDNS, is it?
Well, we have the links we put up for OpenDNS.
Right, but I'm saying if you follow the specific line here, you need to make sure you have to put the OpenDNS IPs in, not the ones they're showing in the example.
Correct.
If that makes sense. This is just how to change DNS in an Orbi Netgear or a Netgear Orbi, whichever you want to call it.
Then you have to do the admin and...
Yeah, admin, log in, and it even gives you right down to the links as to where to go.
It'll tell you exactly how to get there.
And literally, it should take 5 minutes.
So they have their own, what they call, clean browsing family IPs, but just put the OpenDNS ones in their place.
Right. Yeah, we really couldn't speak to whatever they're offering. Everybody wants to know where you're going, right? Everybody wants to know where you're going.
The IP address. I make it up, or
no? You have to use the OpenDNS IP addresses. That's the whole.
Well, that's what I was using. Yeah.
208. What is it? 208.67.
Okay. Well, actually, I guess I went three times to try to do this. I used the OpenDNS addresses, but it just didn't work.
It's
once you put them in, don't forget to save them.
Well, yeah, you got to save them. There's always silly steps that people miss, but the Netgear folks should have been able to do it for you in 5 minutes. Again, a 15-year-old kid should be able to follow this instruction and do it for you in 15 minutes. It's not complicated. It really isn't.
Maybe that's the answer. I can get my 16-year-old grandson to do this for me.
Yeah. I bet you he'd do great.
Oh, golly.
Then you can take him out for pizza or something.
Yeah. All right. Now, I heard you talking about one of the subjects that about the internet.
Which subject?
The fact that there is going to be another...
oh, yes. Go NetSpeed coming to Southington, yeah.
Okay, so without NetSpeed, there is nothing else that I can get?
You either get Frontier or Cox in Southington. That I'm sure of. That's it. Those two.
I don't know which one is worse. I was without internet over the entire Memorial Day weekend.
You were out?
Even though I called them and spoke with somebody.
Mm.
Over the entire weekend and prior to that, about 3 days before the weekend.
That's awful.
And my neighbor was getting it. And I'm on one of those long cables that you're talking about.
Underground cable? Is it underground or overhead?
No. Underground.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So you're not going to be able to get it, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. Ever? I mean, I haven't.
Well, maybe someday. I mean, it's easy to run cable on the poles versus running it underground. So when I talked to a GoNetSpeed representative that told me about Southington East Hartford little competition here, he also looked at my site and said, oh, sorry, Eric, you have underground cables. We can't get to your site. I'm like, well, that stinks.
Oh, my God.
And they told me why. It's obviously more trouble. But eventually they probably, as they continue to gain market share, I'm hoping that they consider underground wiring as a spot that they should focus on or put their own, conduit in.
Fiber is going to be running right by your house and you won't be able to get
right by the back of my house. It's going to run right down East Street, but that's not going to help me.
Oh, wow. So there is no like satellite or anything like that that you
not that I'd recommend. Nope. Better of the two services would probably be Cox of the two, that we have available now.
But if you don't get any internet for them and you're paying $80 a month, I got a small credit, but I still didn't have any internet, which was more important than getting the money.
Right.
So
I would tell you for your business, see if they can get to your business. You'll probably be much happier. For your home, I think you're out of luck. Sorry, Carm.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. All right, I'm going to let you go. We're going to get to some more calls, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. The link to Orbi is up for you.
All right, thanks.
Yep, all right, bye-bye. All right, so we're going to step out, I think, for a quick break and get back to more of your calls. We have four lines jammed up. This is Computer Talk. Everything's posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com, and we are broadcasting live for a live program here, and we're Facebook Living as well over at WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Then stick around for Dr. Alessi. He will be on with Healthy Rounds and give you a second opinion on your health advice. And then, of course, Garden Talk. So it's really exciting here. We've got Garden Talk back on the air. Things are opening up.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
All the essential services that we need.
Very much.
Especially
always,
on the weekends.
Always here at WTIC is essential. So let's get right back to your calls. Let me see what's on the docket here. We've got, is it John? Yeah. Is John there from Brookline, Mass? John, you there?
Yeah.
What can I do for you, sir?
Hello, Computer Talk.
Hi.
I've had Comcast as a service provider for more than 20 years.
Yeah.
And for a variety of reasons, I went to a new service provider. During that 20 years, I used Comcast exclusively as my email provider.
Right.
And I have more than 2,000 financial-related emails that I need to keep that exist only on the Comcast cloud, not on my computer.
Right.
So how do I efficiently transfer all those to either my computer or some email provider?
You should be able to export them from Comcast.
I can either forward them one at a time or I can export them a maximum of 8 at a time. And when I try to transfer them and export them in groups, of eight or more. And maybe I'm seeing the long term, but as I tried to do it, and on my email now, when I tried to do up to eight, it grouped them together in one file, and then it was, I don't know what to do with that. And that was only a maximum of eight at the time.
All right, we have a better idea then.
So you have you're accessing them now using a web browser, is that correct?
Yes, web browser, yeah.
On your computer, do you have like Office configured?
Microsoft Office.
Microsoft Office.
With the Outlook.
I do not. I'd be willing to buy it if that was.
That's the solution. That'll solve your issue. You need to buy Outlook.
Okay.
For home and business, not home and student. Home and business, because you got to get the Outlook piece.
Home and Outlook.
Home and business, 2019.
And how many can I export at a time to that?
You can bring them all down.
Yeah, all of them will come down automatically. They should automatically synchronize down to your local PST. When you configure your account within Outlook, all that mail should come down.
Okay. Okay, very good. And since you answered my question so quickly, can I ask you what you would recommend as an email, online email provider?
Proton Mail. They are they're a collaboration with the Swiss government and MIT, and are a completely, I think it's a Swiss government, and they are fully encrypted. They have a free service, and then they have a pay service.
Great, and I'm willing to pay something for the extra storage capacity. I assume that's what I would need. Okay, very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. All right, let's go on to Joe in Windsor next. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, good morning. I listen to you guys all the time.
Great, thanks.
Even though I'm a Mac user.
That's okay.
I always learn a lot.
I'm nothing against Apple Mac, you know.
Good. I do right now.
Oh, what happened?
No, the problem is with GoDaddy. I have two accounts. One is Gmail, which opens up in Firefox.
Yeah.
And GoDaddy won't open up at all. I've had it for years and years and years, and all of a sudden it won't work. What I think happened is my Firefox is outdated and it won't support GoDaddy.
Okay, that's an easy upgrade.
Well, not if my computer's too old.
Oh, you have an old Mac, huh?
Yeah, I got a 10.6.8 and I've got to go to at least 10.10.
Uh-oh. But how about trying a different browser?
Yeah, I tried Chrome.
Yep. No good?
Still doesn't do it.
It's too old?
Now, the weird thing, this is weird, I could never get my GoDaddy on my Android phone.
That is weird.
I tried for years. Now, all of a sudden, it works on my phone. It jumped from my computer. It was a big leap, but now I get this little print on my phone, and GoDaddy opens up. I get all my emails there.
Okay. So,
and it opens up through Chrome.
So you're still using a browser on your phone to get to your mail.
Yeah.
I would tell you to use the Gmail mail client on your phone.
Okay. I use Gmail on my phone for my personal stuff rather than my business stuff.
But you can add a second account or a third account. I have three different email accounts on my Gmail.
Okay.
I've got my Gmail account, which I don't even look at. And then I've got my other two email boxes, my personal and my business.
Okay. So I'm going to lose my domain name and make up a new one and tell everybody what it is, right?
No, that doesn't have to change. The Gmail icon is just the tool. It's just the mail client.
Right.
And GoDaddy is your mail box. So you're not going to change that. You're going to keep paying them. You're just going to set the account up within Gmail. So there should be a username and password associated with your account, and there should be either POP or IMAP settings that you're going to put in that Gmail client.
Okay.
And everything else, you're going to still pay GoDaddy, you're going to still do everything, but you're just going to use the client rather than using a browser. Using a browser, as people are seeing, is a little problematic because you don't have your mail locally, right? It's out in the cloud, and the moment you have no access to it is the moment you lost your mail.
Okay.
So bringing it down by a client is the way to go. You can also probably get a mail client for your Mac I don't know exactly which one I would recommend, but I'm sure Apple Mac has a mail client that's built into the operating system.
Yeah, I think they do.
You can put the same account information that I described that you're going to put in your Gmail into that mail client on your Mac and get your mail again.
Okay.
When you do it via a browser, your mail is not coming down locally. So if you lose internet, you can't get to the mail, right?
Right.
So when it's down locally, you can still search your email because it's on a local database that has accumulated the mail.
All right. Now, should I upgrade my computer anyways?
Well,
can't hurt.
It can't. That's a yeah.
If you, well, it can if I do it wrong.
Gotcha. Yeah, but I mean, the economy needs you to spend money. So go ahead. Help the NASDAQ buy a new computer.
Are the Apple stores open?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't go to Apple stores. You'd probably have to check with each one. They probably have some crazy protocol that you'll have to go through. It was kind of crazy in Florida. We could go and purchase things from Bed Bath & Beyond only through the internet and pick it up in the curb. So while we're parked at the curb, we could walk over to Marshall's and go into the store and get whatever we want. But each store has their own different crazy quirks, man.
Okay. The wow. Apple stores are open in Hartford.
Nice.
Rentschler Field and Norwalk in Connecticut.
But not West Hartford? Not in the big mall?
Nope. These are just the three.
And not Manchester?
Nope.
I would double check that though, just in case. That's what he's finding.
I just Googled it.
Call him.
Okay. And my fear is this computer is really running out of time. You can hear the clock ticking in the background.
How many years old is it?
Yes.
Oh, that old, huh?
Yeah. So if I get something new, I'm probably just going to get a laptop that I can move around with. Because
sure.
I only have a few clients left, and I'm not sure how long I'm going to work. I'm 100 years old, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or it seems like it today, anyways. So if I get a new computer, I'm going to lose all my software that works on this old computer because I got to upgrade everything else.
You might have to do some upgrading. Yeah, that could get costly, sir.
Oh, now I'm getting older.
I hear you. Welcome to my world when we have to tell our clients the same thing. I mean, only the state of Connecticut can run 40-year-old software. You have to upgrade. State of Connecticut, 40 years is young to them.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they don't care how much it costs to support.
No, of course not. We got to go to a break.
Okay,
all right?
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
You're always a help. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And we'll be right back. Oh, wait a minute, Matt. Are you sure? I thought we have a minute left? That's not what my clock says. Maybe it is wrong. I thought we had less time. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Matt's running the outro music. Stick around. We'll get to your calls. And, of course, we are streaming live over at WTIC's Facebook page. Everything we've talked about has been posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. You can also listen to us on Radio.com, which a lot of folks have been doing during the pandemic because we're not driving anywhere. And, of course, you can get our podcast there as well. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Stick around. Dr. Leslie will be in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. And then you got Garden Talk. We're all excited about that coming back live because it's definitely growing season. It was a really cold spring, so it was almost okay that they weren't around for the springtime because it was so cold. I don't remember a spring being this cold for so long.
Yeah, but they could have told us how to not lose our...
Well, that's true. Yeah. But I'm just saying, of all the times they didn't have to, you couldn't grow anything anyways, but it's good to have them back now that we're able to grow some stuff. So stick around for that coming up at noon. Let's go to your calls, and we're going to go to Sue in Terryville's been online the longest. You there, Sue?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Hi.
Hi.
It's not really a computer question. It's a printer.
Yep.
I have a Brother printer, and it was working perfectly fine. No problems. Loved it. Ran out of toner. Never worked again. Can't get it to work. I replaced the toner 3 times. I went back to Staples to get it because someone told me it could be a bad batch of the toner.
Yeah, and this is an inkjet or a laser?
Laser.
Okay, it is toner then. Okay, yep.
And I called the Brother people. They put me through a bunch of stuff, and the drum still has 66% life on it, so it's not the drum.
Yep.
And when I put the toner in, and I do the first print copy,
yeah,
it copies, Very, 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 very faintly you could see it.
Uh-oh.
But then after that, nothing.
Is the drum and the fuser the same component, or is the, have you checked the fuser?
I don't know what the fuser is. Everything, I think, is in that toner cartridge.
Well, the toner cartridge is just the toner. There's usually a component called a fuser, and I'm not sure if in this brother it's combined with the drum or if it's not.
Yeah, the drum is where you put the cartridge.
There's a drum that deals with how the toner gets to the actual paper.
There's a
and
menu.
I think that's what the problem is.
Yeah, the fuser, I would think.
There's a menu option here.
A menu option?
Yeah, and I've got it right here, and it says to power on the brother printer, open the toner access door located at the front of the printer, press the clear/back button, and it says scroll through the list of toner cartridges until you have located the one that is giving the replace toner message, and then press the 1 button to reset the toner cartridge display.
Oh, you've done all that?
With, the brother people. Yeah, they took me through all that.
All right, so no good there. So it might be a mechanical issue, a fuser. I think it might be a fuser issue. They didn't bring up the word fuser, huh?
No. And I went online for my model. They have nothing online for my model. And I called the brother people, and they're very not helpful at all.
Mm. How old's the printer?
It's probably, I don't know, 5 years old. But I don't use it that often, and it was $500.
Yep.
And I just think it's worth keeping. I'm sure it's something stupid because it works so perfectly, and then all of a sudden I put a new toner in, and it doesn't work.
Yeah. Hang on. I mean, I don't disagree with you. If the fuser, though, is the issue, and no one's talked fuser versus drum... Sometimes they could be thought of synonymously. No, there actually is a separate fuser. So if you go and check on how to change out the fuser, you may want to consider that as another item to be replaced.
Do that, but it won't show my model printer. It will show every other one but my model.
What's the model again?
It's MFC-7360 N.
N as in Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Drum reset. There is definitely some information here. Fuser unit. There is a fuser unit you can get for it. And the key is, can they get you a video to show you how to change it? I think I can. Yeah, because they actually are combining different models have similar procedures. So you might find that they'll list a bunch of models as far as how to cover changing a fuser in that particular one. I think what I would suggest that you do is you call Brother and ask them about the fuser, because it may be the engineer didn't think of it. I mean, it happens. And take a look at doing some searches on the MFC-7360 fuser. There is a fuser part you can buy that may not have a relationship to the drum. And, you know, the drum is one thing.
He doesn't have the N after it, because I've seen ones for 60, but not with the N after it.
Oh, really? Well, N just means network. N just means it's a networkable printer. If it's a 7360, you know, that's okay. N is networkable. Sometimes W would be wireless. D would be for duplexing. So N shouldn't matter to you. But I'm guessing your fuser is the issue. But I would check with them first. So call them back and say, hey, guys, I've had this issue. What do you think about changing out the fuser? Is that the same as the drum? And that way you get a specific answer from Brother, versus my shot in the dark. Go ahead, Bob.
I've got a link here that says, what is the difference between a toner cartridge and the drum unit? And it gives an illustration. So maybe that would be helpful for you as well.
Mm-hmm. You're going to know way more about this printer than you should.
I know. I've been working on it forever. I even asked, called the service repair, and we don't do Brother. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, HP is the bigger name out there as far as availability of repair. It's hard to find Brother repair.
And there has been issues with new toner cartridges where the little microchip in it, even though you get a brand new cartridge, will say it's empty and there's nothing you can do except...
Right, it's not saying it's empty. The guy said it could be just a bad batch. I went through three of them at Staples. I don't know if they'll give me another one.
Well, I would say the one you have is probably fine.
Nice giving it to me, too.
The one you have is probably fine, right? You still have one, so I wouldn't go back. I think it has to do with your fuser. So you can even do a little bit of YouTubing to understand what a fuser is.
It's like the ink isn't coming out of where it's supposed to. It's like it wants to, but it's not coming out.
Right. I mean, believe it or not, it heats it up. It's a laser that heats up the toner and melts it onto the paper.
And that was the other thing. I shut my printer off not knowing that you're never supposed to shut the printer off.
Who told you that?
And I had it all. I saw it online.
You can turn your printer off. It's okay to turn your printer off.
Oh, it said that it would dry up everything.
No. Well, if an inkjet... So an inkjet is different than laser. That's why I asked you that question first.
No, I have laser.
Then you're fine. Inkjets, yes. They become dried up. The nozzles clog. It's a big mess. I'm not a big fan of inkjet. But for laser, you can leave it. You can turn it off and turn it on as often as you like.
Wow. Right. And I have a computer question now.
Okay, why not? Go ahead.
I just got Xfinity for my cable, but I don't use it for cable, just for the internet.
All right.
And I bought an Android box for my television.
Okay.
And now it always buffers.
You're kidding.
No.
What's your bandwidth? What's your bandwidth? What did they sell you for download speeds?
There's 100 Mbps.
Okay, 100 megabits. It's plenty of bandwidth. Mm-hmm. You don't need any more. So the Android.
And I bought my own router, that Netgear.
Netgear, okay.
Netgear, I bought that.
The Android box that you talk about that's always buffering, is it connected physically or is it wireless?
Wireless.
Did you use the 2.4 gigahertz range or the 5 gigahertz range?
No clue where I would.
When you connect it to the SSID on your router, the one you configured, your router probably offers both 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz speeds. I would tell you that the 2.4 does a better job for streaming, especially at distance. I would tell you to connect to the 2.4 SSID on your router for that box to have a better chance at performance. If you can do it hardwired, if there's a network cable you could run, that would be the best option.
Okay, I shouldn't get like one of those Wi-Fi, ultra Wi-Fi things.
Well, I would assume your router is pretty young already, though. It's new, right?
It's brand new. I just bought it last week.
Yep.
But I thought maybe walls, because I live in a small apartment, I mean.
Yeah, you're fine.
It's like 1,000 square feet, if that, but I have like four walls in between where the TV is.
Walls are fine, but I think you're probably connecting at the 5 gigahertz and even at a distance.
It is 5 gigahertz.
There it is. So do 2.4. Choose the 2.4 SSID for that, and I bet you your buffering goes away.
Okay. And then when I'm in the living room and I'm on my tablet and my husband puts on his phone, he knocks me off the internet.
Well, that's not nice. I think your issue there is that you have not configured enough IP addresses. So when you go to your DHCP settings in your Netgear device, in your Netgear router, make sure you offer up 25 or 50 IPs to connect to your router. If you've limited it, you might just have too much of a limit. And make sure you configure OpenDNS while you're in there.
Okay.
I have another solution for your brother printer, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And we can put a link up to that. Instead of entering one, you hit zero. Or two zeros, excuse me.
Oh, another process on the menu?
Right, and so I put a link for Matt. So
okay.
It's under superuser.com.
Gotcha. So there's some other things you can do to try to force that printer into printing.
I thought maybe I hit so many buttons, the programming, and then there's no reset button like every other printer has. I don't have one.
Nope, I think your fuser has failed.
Okay.
And that's where you need to get a new fuser. But if you're going to spend $300 on a new fuser on a $500 printer,
I'll buy a new printer.
And I would stay away from that brand.
Right, exactly. And that's what I told the guy about fixing the printer. I said, I want to fix it, but I could buy a brand new one for $200.
Right.
I said, so I don't want to spend, but if it's something easy, I'll fix it, $50.
But I think a fuser is going to get more expensive. So if it gets to that point, then you're just going to buy a new printer. All right.
Yeah, I'll just buy a printer that takes that cartridge toner since I have a full one.
Well, it won't. It won't work. Yeah, if you get a different brand, it won't work. You can sell it on eBay. Sell it on Facebook. You'll have somebody that want to buy it.
Oh, okay.
All right, Sue.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Okay, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so are we taking a break? Well, I've lost time. I've done this. We haven't done the show for three weeks. I'm probably time for a break, right, Matt? We're going to step up for a quick break and get back to more of your calls. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so stick around. We are streaming live over at WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back. And we are back. We're in the final stretch. We are live. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Happy to be back. Sorry we had to go away for as long as we had to, but I couldn't fly to Florida. I had to drive. This whole thing has been pretty disruptive for everybody, so I unfortunately can't drive quickly to Florida. There's no quick way to drive there.
Well, I think driving takes typically about 24 hours. Is that correct?
I did it in 18.
18?
Nobody was on the road. And I did not speed. I promise you. Promise.
That's what cruise controls is for. You don't hit traffic.
There was no traffic. Nobody was out. It was like I was in some sort of weird dystopian movie. I could get from Connecticut through New York like there was nobody on the road. It was weird.
Yeah, I find that New York was a bottleneck, and then when you hit the South Carolina border, usually.
Oh, it was busy in the South, but up north it was this weird dystopian thing. Let's go to your calls, though. We're going to go to Stu in Higginham. What's going on, Stu?
Good afternoon, guys, or good morning.
Morning.
This is a wacky sort of story here.
Okay.
When I was an undergraduate in engineering at Stanford University, before either of you were born, a couple of my buddies, we put together and had the first computer date matching party ever. Publicity indicated that was true. Years later, I wrote an article about it, which was published in a Stanford alumni magazine, and it was very funny, and I was the Smithsonian in 2005. I'm getting to the weird stuff.
All right.
They asked me to redo it for a computer magazine and make it a little more technical. I did, and I mentioned that back in those days we formed a singing marching band, which still is in existence, and I listed in the second version of this now some of the tunes we played, like Wait Till the Sun Shines Nelly and such funny stuff.
Yeah. Now, I heard this story. You've called our show before, right?
I thought I did, and I still can't find anybody who can tell me what it is.
Yeah, keep going with your question, because I recall this being a weird question.
Okay. So a year and a half ago, my wife and I have flown to Guanajuato, Mexico, where our son is a university professor there.
Right.
We just got to his house.
Yep.
We get inside, and my wife says, oh, my iPhone is about dead. I got to charge it.
Right.
She plugs it into the wall. I go into the next room to open a bag, and she says, sweetheart, you're on the radio. And I said, what? I come back in. I said, it's me.
Yep, somebody was playing your podcast or something, you said, or your recording.
Except it's not the podcast. Somebody had cleverly and good job segued in some of the tunes from our band. Because we have a website that has some of the tunes, and they march around the Bay Area all the time.
Yeah.
So they had done a good job of putting in Wait Till the Sun Shines Nelly.
Yeah.
And then faded out at the end. What the heck is this?
Well, again, if it's on the internet, there are repositories of stuff that are on the internet you just can't get away from. It's there forever now, right? So somebody must have coincidentally used your tune, and then the odds of it being heard the way you heard it was even weirder, right? It just kind of came on.
And it's me for 27 minutes reading my podcast.
Yeah, and the reason it went to your wife's phone or something like that was kind of bizarre. But, of course, Apple and Google and all those guys are always listening, even though they say they're not. So who knows how that popped up on your device the way it did. But as far as people accessing content, it's a common thing. The weirder part was that it ran on your phone randomly like that.
I've never been able to find it myself, to go back.
You're not using the right Google search. You got to put the right phrase
in. I'll give up. I mean, I'm getting too old to worry about this.
Don't worry about it. I don't think there's anything nefarious about it. It was just a weird coincidence. And the fact that, of course, our devices are, I swear, listening. I mean, I think I probably, last time you called, I was talking about the fact that I was bringing up the word purple mattress or something like that while I was helping somebody move. And literally that afternoon or that evening, my Facebook feed is full of purple mattresses ads. So I think that's why you called, because you were kind of trying to understand why it showed up on your wife's phone like that. But again, we're all connected. We're all listening, and the data is out there. So whatever Google search you need to use is the algorithm is still a mystery to you as far as trying to reproduce it, but I couldn't tell you why it ended up on your wife's phone, and I wouldn't worry about it.
Would I look up the title of the actual article in the computer magazine?
Yeah.
With that title and see if that brings something up in the edited version?
You'd be amazed. So you can do, I mean, I'm not an expert when it comes to Google searching, except with technology, we do pretty good. But when you're looking for things that are outside of that type of realm, the algorithms that Google uses and what you put in the search really matter. So you can have better results or poorer results based on what you search. So just keep using different approaches and you might get lucky on your search.
Well, I won't bother you again.
No, it's a great story, and I wish I could be of help to you, sir.
The magazine again?
What was the magazine? Bob's wondering.
It's an IEEE magazine for the Computer Society, and I've got the. I'd have to go into another room and get the magazine.
Okay, no sweat. Yeah, we're running out of time.
But it's an IEEE.
Okay. Well, good luck to you trying to figure it out. Sorry we can't help you as to why it's happening, but that's a funky story. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. And we, of course, we're broadcasting live. If you missed anything, you can go to WTIC's Facebook page and check us out there. You can, of course, check us out on radio.com and check out our podcast as well. Stick around. Dr. Leslie's up next. Thanks, Mike G., for posting everything.
See you next week.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.